All right, Trevor, let's talk a little bit pass game. Georgia's passing offense versus Notre Dame's passing defense. A lot to talk about here. And again, new quarterback for Georgia kind of puts this one in the giant question mark category. You know, we can look back at his high school numbers. He threw for a bajillion yards, Gatorade Player of the Year, you know, all of those things. You know, can he get the ball to his playmakers? Are his playmakers going to make plays in the passing game? You know, what does that look like, and can they do it? I mean, that's going to be the biggest question mark. And then how does Notre Dame respond to what Gunnar Stockton brings to the table in the pass game? I mean, those are all giant question marks because of the new quarterback situation for Georgia.
Yeah, I'd say this is the biggest question mark going into the game, right, on either side of the football. Yeah, you know, the run game matchup is what it is, and Notre Dame's going to have to do a good job of stopping the run, and we expect Georgia's, you know, identity to try to come back to doing what they did in the second half against Texas. The biggest question that I have is, what is the pass game going to look like for Georgia? Because coming into this matchup, add some stats here for a little bit of context, Georgia had the number 11 passing offense in the country in terms of yards per game. Right? They're 15th in the country in passing touchdowns. Now, I will say they've turned the ball over quite a bit in the air. They have 18 turnovers as a team. 13 of those have came through the air. Now, 12 of those were Carson Beck's. One of those was Gunnar Stockton's in the SEC championship game.
Correct. But none of those touchdowns were Gunnar Stockton's.
Correct.
I believe, right? Yeah.
Correct. So this is the biggest question mark. What's it going to be? I don't think that Kirby Smart's expecting Gunnar Stockton to go into this game and throw all over the yard against one of the best passing defenses in the entire country, right? Yeah, Notre Dame ranks number 4 in the country in yards per game. They're number 2 in the country in yards per attempt. They're number 1 in the country in completion percentage allowed. They're still the only team in college football that has held teams to under 50% for completion percentage, which is really impressive. They've only allowed 11 passing touchdowns on the season, which is 8th in the country, and they've picked off opposing teams 18 times, which ranks 4th in the country. They are still number 1 in pass efficiency defense, and they don't allow a whole lot of big plays through the air. They've only allowed 10 passes of 30 yards or longer, which ranks 13th in the country. Now, one of the two glaring is yards per completion is at 11.4, which ranks 46th in the country. Now, being 46th in the country overall isn't alarming, but it is kind of the outlier when you look at having things ranked in basically the top 10 in everywhere else.
Yeah.
Right, right. So that and sacks. The pass rush has been an issue for Notre Dame this year at times because a lot of their pass rush is generated right up the middle. When Riley Mills and Howard Cross are cooking, they are a very hard pass rush to stop up the middle. Where the glaring issue has been, it's been on the edge, and you can attribute a lot of that to injury. You know, yeah. I mean, with Jordan Botello and Boubacar Traore being injured for the rest of the season, that hurt him. And you're asking guys to step up like Josh Burnham, who is not a true pass rusher, right? He's really great at stopping the run and holding the perimeter and coming flat down the line to blow up run plays in the backfield. RJ Oben, unfortunately, was not what Notre Dame fans thought he was going to be from a pass rushing standpoint, but he's came on as a run defender. And then your three other pass rushers. You have Junior Tui Alamaka, who didn't play a single defensive snap against Texas A&M. He played on special teams, but not a single defensive snap against the Aggies. And two freshmen, and Bryce Young and Logan Thomas. So it's been a tall order asking Notre Dame's edge rushers to kind of step up, and we'll dive into it a little bit later, but can that be a position group that steps up for Notre Dame on New Year's Day? Right? But you go through and you look and you break down Georgia's passing game, right? And it's a big question mark, man, because I don't think it's going to look like what it did with Carson Beck at the helm. And I think Gunnar Stockton's going to be relying on a handful of his guys, his playmakers on the outside and in the tight end room to step up and make plays, you know? And I think that the Georgia wide receiver core has some questions, more than what people would like to admit. You know, Arian Smith leads the team in yards and yards per attempt. He's kind of like their big play guy. You know, he has 750 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns off of 47 receptions. But their leading receiver in terms of receptions is Dominic Lovett. And he's kind of the guy that's a little bit shiftier after the catch. He's the guy that they're trying to get tunnel screens to, bubble screens to, because good things happen when you get the ball into his hands.
Yep.
Right. He leads the team in receptions. He also leads the team in touchdown receptions with 6. Then you have Dylan Bell, who's their bigger wide receiver at 6'1". He has 433 receiving yards on the year and 4 touchdowns to match Arian Smith. But Arian Smith this season has had some issues with drops. If you guys have watched Georgia this year, Arian Smith has dropped a lot of passes, unfortunately. So really it comes down to what are their playmakers going to be able to do on the perimeter and what's the tight end room going to be able to do? You mentioned it at the start of the show. Georgia has an extremely deep tight end room. You know, it's highlighted by Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp. I also think it's kind of cool that, like, you know, Lawson Lucky's number is number 7. You know,
Lucky number seven.
So, you know, that's kind of cool. But they also have Ben Jurosek, who had a long touchdown pass or a long touchdown reception against Notre Dame in 2021 when he was still at Stanford. So you have 3 guys that are all able to make plays in the passing game. And Lawson Lucky, I would say, is their most dynamic pass catcher in that room. But you also have guys like Oscar Delp. If you don't remember, he's number 4 in Georgia's tight end room.
He looks the part. I can tell you that much.
Oh, he does. Yeah. No, he does. Absolutely. But he had his best game of the season against Tennessee in that big win. You know, he went against Tennessee 4 receptions for 56 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. So Delp is the kid that stepped up when Brock Bowers went down in the postseason a couple years ago. And everybody kind of assumed that he was kind of going to be the next man in replacing Brock Bowers. But Lawson Lucky came in and he has proven himself to be a dynamic player in the passing game as well. So, you know, they're going to be relying on a lot of those guys. But it's tough to look at these stats and break down where they're at as a team in terms of passing when none of these numbers are Gunnar Stockton's.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know, Vince. What are your thoughts? Overall takeaways just from a statistical standpoint of these two teams overall.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. 1 Caleb Williams passing yard gets you 1 win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week 1? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game 1 hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Well, I mean, I think this is a, you know, this is Notre Dame's strength. I mean, let's be honest. Notre Dame's strength is the pass game and their passing game efficiency and all that. Again, a lot of single digit rankings there outside of the yards per completion. And a lot, I mean, again, it's all part of the game. But again, a lot of that has to do with some garbage time situations and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, I like the matchup for Notre Dame's pass game against Georgia's pass game. The key for me, and we're going to talk about keys later, but you know, you don't want Georgia to throw the ball when they want to. You want Georgia to throw the ball when you want them to. And a lot of that's going to harken back to Notre Dame's rush defense, which will then in turn help Notre Dame's pass defense, right? And, you know, if Notre Dame can get pressure on Gunnar Stockton, I think that's also going to be a very big key to this entire situation. You know, can they get him off platform? Is he going to just going to sit in the pocket and do whatever he wants? Because the kid, look, the kid was a 5-star, I believe. I mean, he was a big time quarterback recruit. There's no doubt about it. Samuel Burson in our chat is talking about how people are underestimating Gunnar Stockton. We already talked about the run, Sam, but if you can go check that part out. And we talked about his ability to run the football, but at the same time, the only thing people have to go off of is his high school stats. You know, high school is different than the SEC. It just means more. So you can't just harken back to high school stats. You have to have stats that are comparable to what everybody else has been doing. He just doesn't have those. Now, could he have like really, really good stats moving forward? Yeah, it's definitely possible. But the problem is he doesn't have those now. I'm more afraid of his running ability than I am of his passing ability right now. Just because he hasn't done it. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm saying he hasn't done it. Okay. That's the difference. That's why this is a big question mark. So Notre Dame's going to have to continue to get pressure on him and force him to make some decisions that maybe he doesn't want to make, force him to pull the ball down and maybe run the football, you know, force him to throw to, you know, into some coverage that he doesn't want to throw into. Like those are all going to be the important pieces of this. And like, I hate to say it because you and Brian worked very hard on putting this together, but like Georgia's numbers don't mean squat to me because he had nothing to do with them. You know what I mean? I hate to say that. I don't want to just discard everything because you still got the same pass catchers. You still got the same offensive line that's going to be protecting. You know, you still have all of those things, and those things are all very, very important. But at the same time, those 28 touchdowns that ranked 15th in the country, Gunnar Stockton had zero to do with those. You know what I mean? You know, those 12 interceptions that are on there, he has one of those. You know, he has one of the 13. You know, he didn't have 12 of them. So, I mean, and those passing yards, the good mass majority of that, not his. So, you know, that's my biggest issue with this. Or I shouldn't say issue. That's the biggest question mark about this entire matchup is you just don't know what Gunnar Stockton brings to the table. He's got talent. We know this. Notre Dame has made very talented quarterbacks look very pedestrian. And this is a very talented quarterback who has zero experience. So that's, and again, he might go out there and just show everybody that he's a dude. But Notre Dame needs to have a say in this whole thing. That's going to be the biggest piece of this. They need to have a say. They need to force him to do some stuff he doesn't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you brought up a really good point. Notre Dame's defense, there's players on this defense that have faced really good quarterbacks year in and year out. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's going to be anything that Notre Dame secondary hasn't seen, but there are some matchups, personnel groupings that give me a little bit of concern. You know what I mean? Like I look at Notre Dame's, you know, linebackers against the Georgia tight ends.
Big one right there.
You know, that's going to be a big one. Notre Dame's linebackers have had an up and down season in terms of coverage. They're great at stopping the run. They're very fast. They're very long. But there have been times this season where Notre Dame has struggled defending tight ends. And I don't know if they've gone up against a tight end group that has Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp.
Right.
You know, so that's going to be a big one to watch. One thing that I think that works out in Notre Dame's favor is they don't have a lot of depth at corner. That's not what works out in their favor. But Georgia doesn't rotate their wide receivers in as much in comparison to what USC did and in comparison to what IU did. Right. I mean, you go through and you look and outside of their three, Arian Smith, Dominic Lovett, and Dylan Bell, their next leading wide receiver is London Humphreys, who has 15 catches on the year. Mm-hmm. You know, so they don't do a whole lot of rotating their wide receivers in comparison to IU, who's rotating their slot guys all the time between the two Miles guys and Keyshawn Williams. And they're not rotating in Omar Cooper and Elijah Surratt and all those guys. And obviously you guys remember what it was against USC. USC had six wide receivers that all rotated in, and you know, Notre Dame was pretty dog tired in that game, and they didn't have cornerbacks to rotate. I mean, Christian Gray had a 99-yard pick six and was on the field the next defensive snap because he had to be, you know. So it's just this is a different type of receiving core, in my opinion, that poses a little bit different of a threat than what the USC's did with, you know, the 6'6 Deuce Robinson and, you know, Mekhi Lemon and all of those guys. These are good receivers. They're very fast. That is another thing is they have a lot of speed. Now, Notre Dame secondary does too. Christian Gray and Leonard Moore are fast, right? I mean, we've seen how fast Leonard Moore is. But Arian Smith can absolutely fly. I mean, I don't mean this as a shot, but like it's what he lacks in being like a natural pass catcher, he makes up for in just top-end speed. I mean, there's a reason why he has 47 receptions on the season, but still averages 16 yards per catch. So dude can fly down the field. And same thing with Dominic Lovett. In open space, he can move. So those are going to be two things Notre Dame secondary is going to have to be on the lookout for. But overall, I agree with you, man. It's tough to break down, you know, looking at Georgia's stats up until, you know, really the second half of the Texas game, because none of these stats are Gunnar Stockton's. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. So when you look at this matchup as a whole, Vince, what would you say are kind of like the three keys to success that Notre Dame has to have in order to win this matchup?
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard MasterClass had a new class on betting the odds taught by the pros who've made millions, I had to check it out. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become the best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow from over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with MasterClass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Go past guessing, learn data-driven strategies and tactical thinking from the pros who've mastered high-stakes sports betting. Sharpen your skills, assess risks, and make better decisions. And the classes really do make a difference. 88% of members feel that MasterClass has made a positive impact on their lives. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with MasterClass. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/Irish for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/Irish. masterclass.com/Irish. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you are responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction. So forget the lucky jersey or the assigned seating on game day. Learn from the sharps who meticulously manage risk and evaluate data when making decisions on where and when to wager their money. Only with MasterClass. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So the first key to success for me is pressuring Gunnar Stockton. You've got to be in his face. You have to. I kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. I mean, but that's the key for any kind of a young quarterback and a guy who is making his first start ever, you know, on a big stage. You've got to make him make some decisions that he doesn't want to make, whether that's, you know, tucking and trying to run, whether it's throwing into coverage, you know, whatever the case may be. You can't let him sit in a nice little pocket because he's got the arm to make some plays. Okay. You can't let him, you know, get into the run game, get comfortable. You want to make him as uncomfortable as possible. Now, how do you do that? Number one, you mix up the looks defensively. You know, don't put it out there and be like, okay, we're clearly in man-to-man here. You know, mix up the looks. You know, are you going to bring some pressure from this side and then not bring it from this side, but bring it from this side? You know, make him make some decisions with pre-snap that, or make him confused pre-snap. I think that's going to be a key. Look, even though Notre Dame is dealing with backups and things like that defensively, this is a group that has been in this defense for three seasons, right? They know this defense. They can do some things pre-snap to make another team uncomfortable. And when you have a first-year starting quarterback or first-game starting quarterback, that's what you need to do. Make him as uncomfortable as possible pre-snap. And then, of course, once the ball is snapped, then you got to put pressure on him. You got to, you know, make him see some ghosts. You got to do some different things. You got to drop in and out of pressures. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can do. You can, you know, make it look like you're playing press man, fall back, you know, fall back, then come up and pay. You know, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of different things you can do to confuse him. And that's what you need to do. And then physically confuse him as well. Get in his face, make him make some throws he doesn't want to make. And then you got to take advantage of those throws. So the number one key is you've got to pressure him mentally and physically. Got to pressure him. The second one for me is the secondary and the linebackers have to protect the middle, the mid-range throws. Okay. And now what I mean by that is offensive coordinators are going to try to get Gunner comfortable by making some easy throws, right? Maybe some sticks routes, you know, some hitches, some slants,
RPOs,
bubble screens, like that kind of stuff. You can't allow him to get comfortable with the easy throws. You've got to defend those middle to short throws. And so what does that mean? So what that means is you got to blow up some bubble screens on the outside, right? You've got to play up on these receivers and prevent them from having those easy slant plays that they were giving IU. You know, and again, that's one of the things that Al Golden decided, yeah, you can have these easy slant plays. It's not really going to do much to us, because we're going to do some other things to take away other stuff that you're doing. You know, but I think what you really have to defend is that short to middle area. And that's where the secondary and the linebackers are going to come into play. Make some plays. You got to high low some guys. You got to do some things to confuse Gunner, but you don't want him to get comfortable. So I think those short to intermediate throws, you have to defend well. That's going to be a big one for me. Look, if they want to take a shot, take a shot, because you got 0 and 8 back there. I'm not overly worried about shots being taken, but don't let them methodically go down the field with him feeling real comfortable with these short throws. I think you really got to defend short and intermediate routes. Those are the two big ones for me.
Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with you. Notre Dame runs a lot of man. So a big one for me is going to be linebackers and coverage against their tight ends, linebackers and safeties against their tight ends. Cause this is a very dynamic tight end. And they've shown that they're able to compete and go up and win one-on-one situations. They're big-bodied guys. I think Lawson Lucky is 6'4". Oscar Delp is 6'5". They're both over 240. So they're big-bodied, big-frame kids that can make contested catches, make catches in traffic. So, you know, I agree with you. Number one for me is still just get pressure on Gunner Stockton, make him uncomfortable in the pocket, because once Texas was able to have some success with that, he did not look like the same passer in that game, right? So make him uncomfortable, have very active hands on the defensive line, get a couple of tip balls, because Carson Beck, I think, 6'3", 6'4". Gunner Stockton, 6'1". You're going to have opportunities to get tip passes at the line, right? But for me, you know, if Notre Dame wins a lot of man, like, do everything that you can to keep it in front of you. I do believe that, and I know that Arian Smith can fly. And Christian Gray and Leonard Moore are two guys who are also very fast. But again, I don't know if they've faced a receiver with that type of speed yet this season, right? So, you know, that's another area where I think that they need to have success in the passing game. But, you know, those are kind of my three, you know, making sure that you keep everything in front of you, get pressure on Gunner Stockton, and make sure the linebackers and safeties play well in coverage against the tight ends. Because those three guys for Georgia have the opportunity to be game wreckers.
Yeah.
Like, they can blow that offense open for Georgia. And when you're a new quarterback, you're a new starting quarterback, what's the old saying? Tight ends are your best friend. And there's guys that can. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Areas for concern for me is going to be a little bit of like kind of the opposite of what I said. You know, the linebackers become a liability in coverage. They're not able to get pressure on Gunner Stockton. I think not being able to get any sort of a pass rush is what makes me nervous. Like, because if he has time to sit back and get comfortable and set up shop, It's going to be a long day for Notre Dame secondary. You know what I mean?
This kid's got talent, man. Like, nobody is discounting the fact that he has talent. Nobody. Like, the kid has talent. You don't, like, you can say that he didn't have great competition in high school, and you can say all of these different things, but you don't put up 13,000 yards passing and 4,000 yards rushing because you're playing against a bunch of bums. Like, you just don't do, like, the kid's got talent. Okay. He can sling the rock. You can't make him comfortable. If he's comfortable, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, even against an elite defense like Notre Dame. You're in trouble if he just sits back there and does what he wants in the pass game. You cannot allow that to happen. Now, what makes Notre Dame elite is the fact that they don't allow that to happen to players. They don't allow teams to just sit back and do whatever they want, you know, in the pocket and things like they don't allow that, but they have to continue that. If you let this kid, first start or otherwise, doesn't matter. If you let him get comfortable and just sit in the pocket and pick you apart, like you said, it's going to be a long day. Kid's got talent. Kid's got a ton of talent. No doubt about it. And I don't think I'd want to face him at the end of the season after he's had a full season under his belt, right? But this is his first game starting. He's got a lot of experience in the program, learning the offense, being the backup, you know, all of those things. And that's great. But can he do it on the field, between the lines, when the whistle blows? That's going to be that's the biggest question mark about this entire thing. But if you let him, he'll hurt you.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Got anything else on
That's it.
I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Bro.
Beautiful. So, hey, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell. Share with your family and friends. Of course, jump on the boards, boards.irishbreakdown.com, all kinds of good stuff over there. And Brian's actually working on some stuff right now, FYI. So you're definitely going to want to be a member of the board.